Tell you what, my dad pulls a Thanksgiving move that I think is weird. Ice cream, apple pie, and a giant slice of cheddar cheese on the apple.
The cheese.
Have you ever seen that?
No.
I have.
Really?
Out west, there's been some grit.
I don't know what's up with a cheddar cheese on an apple pie.
I don't like it.
I don't even know if it's my own family that's ever done that, but it doesn't work for me.
I think it's that generation.
I've never heard of that move.
Novelty, and you don't melt it. It's just a.
It's right out of the fridge,
like a cut of cheddar cheese, like Colby cheese or whatever it is. Yeah. A brick.
Like when you have a growl on, you're making cheese and crackers. That big of a piece of cheese right on the apple pie.
That is such a turnoff for me.
It is for me.
I wouldn't eat it.
Never, ever, ever, ever.
And I wouldn't even dance around cheddar cheese.
I wouldn't dance around it.
Yeah, but you like them separately. There are amazing foods that you like, but not together.
No,
it's a psychological.
It's a psychological thing. It's a gene. I think you got to be born with it because everyone has someone in their family who can eat anything, any combination of food. I've told you about my cousin. I've witnessed this guy. This guy Ziploc bags to go food. Just dump it in the Ziploc bag.
Anything
in there. So by the end, there's turkey stuffing, there's vegetables, there's probably fruit, cheese somehow, a piece of pie in there.
And this guy's
just going at it.
Like, are you the guy that everything on the plate can't be touching each other?
I would prefer no touching.
Yeah, I don't.
I don't have a problem with some touching, but I prefer no touching.
I like lots of touching, and you know exactly what I mean.
But why though? Don't you like? Okay, I know what I'm going to bite into.
I just
right
love
now.
Grabbing a scoop of corn and then into the mash, and then maybe different. A little piece of turk.
That's different. That's different. Where if you
that like, is touching
when you have mashed potatoes.
And
that is
when you have mashed potatoes, you naturally will mix things in it, whether it's peas and corn or something like that, maybe a little piece of stuffing if it happens to slide in there, but you don't go consciously looking for it.
I think the gravy is where people can get very liberal, right? And sometimes you're like, wait a minute, where are you going with the gravy?
Yeah, it's
on
too
that
much.
Like, I just like the gravy on the turkey. Don't even touch my mash.
Oh, I like it on the mash. I like it on the stuffing. I'll hit that 3-pack. But there are people that just, it's a full dump.
I think stuffing should be canceled from any kind. I hate it.
That's blasphemy. I love stuffing.
My dad used to rattle the whole cage at Thanksgiving because he would have a big dinner. The gravy and everything would be on the plate. The plate would be done, and then my mom would put a piece of cake on that plate.
Oh, that's repulsive. Unacceptable.
And you know what the verbiage was? He said it all goes to the same place.
But see, that's the psychology. Like, he's got the gene.
Yeah, but it doesn't taste the same when you're having a nice piece of cake and there's some gravy.
Exactly. You might as well eat it off the floor. It's still going to the same place. Hey, where's the dumpster? Anywhere I can find a dumpster where I can eat, it's all going to the same place.
It used to rattle people's cages.
That would rattle my cage. Here's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. What's your Thanksgiving routine like?
Eat.
Any rules though when it comes to eating?
Yeah, I like stuffing the day after in the sandwich.
No, it's like someone rolled up pieces of bread and thrown garbage on top of it. It sucks. Stuffing is no good.
I think I like the day after Thanksgiving better than Thanksgiving.
Yeah, nice cold turkey sandwich.
Oh, man, I love that. Now, Noodles, when you said about everything goes to the same plate, my dad used to say that, too.
I know.
And whenever they said that, it was generally because what they were eating was gross and disgusting.
Exactly. Piece of chocolate cake with gravy and mashed potato right beside it. And
same fork.
Yeah, no problem.
Everything.
You know what my dad used to do for breakfast? He had this bowl, and after he passed away, it's like it's my favorite keepsake. He always used to eat his breakfast in it. So I've got this bowl, and he'd pour his cereal in it, crumple up graham crackers in it, pour coffee in the bowl, and then the milk. The bowl weighed about 47 pounds. And he'd go, it's all going to the same place. It saves a step.
All at once?
So he had a coffee cereal.
Yes!
What was this guy, like Oscar the Grouch or what?
Wow, a coffee cereal. That is a new one.
Yeah. He goes, why put it in the cup? I'm going to drink it. I'm putting it in the bowl, mixing it with the cereal and the graham crackers that he liked crumpling in there for crunchies.
That's a veteran.
Almost the same place. Yeah, sure it is.
And I love these old school grizzled vets as if they were the ones that were going to do the dishes.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, I don't want to use an extra cup. Yeah, what, you're going to get in there and do the dishes?
The old school grizzled vets.
I don't know what your guys' dads did, but I think my dad knew that in the kitchen were the chairs and the table.
I love my dad to death, but he went right downstairs and lied on the couch and watched the movie. It was dinner at 4:30, and that news was coming on, and there was a snooze about to happen, and there was nothing standing in his way. And he, on the way down the stairs, he'd fire out the, "Help your mom with the dishes, you bastards."
Yeah, get up there and help out. Well, it's a big day for us this afternoon because we're doing the O-Dog weight reveal at 5:30. He's been in the gym, and he's been on a whole new regimen.
Yeah, quite
really,
disciplined.
For 2 weeks. Very disciplined.
Yeah.
Kind of a Karate Kid type discipline. So we got balloons and everything at 5:30, but we got Domino's in here. So it's almost like a troll job. We got Domino's, we got pizza, we got wings, we got everything.
There. Like it's everything. It's a full feed.
Yeah. Before the biggest weekend of the year for eating.
Yeah, but you're not weighing in.
No,
He's
I know
He's already
that.
Done weighing in. It's like when you've gone to training camp and they've weighed you in and done your body fat. That day, I always had deep-fried mozzarella. What's that? Cheese sticks.
Mm.
I would always go
Once you
somewhere.
Got through it, you're
Once
good.
Once you got through it. So you've done your weigh-in, O. You can cheat right now and have some Domino's.
This weekend and then back.
Exactly. Back at it. Ray's getting pulled over.
Yeah, where are you right now?
No, that was a fire truck going by, and I'm not even exaggerating here. I don't think I've ever seen as close a miss as I just saw. I'm turning onto the highway, so the fire truck's coming the other direction straight. Some guy ran the light going across, and the fire truck almost hit him.
Oof,
like,
yikes.
that was as close as I, like, that would have been messy.
Yeah, that is dangerous, man. Well?
That, you could hear how close I was the truck, but like that was not going to turn out well.
No.
Okay. Well,
on a positive note.
Dope. Yeah.
Well, thinking of, I mean, speaking about not
kind of like the leaf in front of the net.
Exactly.
That's where I was going to say.
There's
speaking of not going well.
Take the floor. What did you make of the Maple Leafs?
Well, I mean, they've made, you know, bad decisions, and you know, defensively they've been beat physically. Their coverage is broken down. It's like, it's not one thing, which is maybe the more concerning part, is that, you know, the first goal, I guess it was the first goal where Point out-muscled Barry in the goal crease. There was another one that came from behind the net. They got outplayed behind the net, lost body position, the pass out in front, it's in. Riley got beat on another one. Man, he's had a rough couple of games defensively. I didn't really know what to expect. I figured Tampa would play pretty decent after they got embarrassed the other night, but Toronto just came apart at the seams, and the goalie was no good either. So it was like it was a collective stink last night.
Yeah, it was ugly. And my concern here is that you knew that there was going to be a transition period here with this amount of turnover. Like, you knew that was coming, and training camp, you get a certain amount of practices and preseason games or whatever, but you kind of ease into the season and you expect some growing pains. But I was expecting that out of the new players. The issues that I have are with the carryover players. Like, I thought Mitch Marner was awful last night, and he has not been very good through five games, and John Tavares was just okay, and Morgan Rielly has not played well, and Freddie Anderson was not good. These are not guys they got from Ottawa and Colorado.
Right.
These are guys who have played for Babcock for 3 years.
By the way, the new guys are not that far behind.
No, it's not like... But, you know, the third line's been pretty good. Those are three new guys.
Hey, if you're talking about the third line being consistent and ready to play every night, you got a problem.
Yeah, but I think Matthews has been fine. Nylander's been fine. It's the Tavares line and the Rielly pairing is the real issue for me right now.
What I saw a couple of... you know, it's not anything big, but a couple of examples last night of, like, a little of that we talked about the when you don't score early in the year, but a little bit of the frustration, perhaps, like from Marner. He's a pretty emotional guy. Like, you can see him on the ice when I'm standing down there. I can, you know, when he's mad, everybody knows he's mad. When he's mad at the official, he lets the officials know. There was a couple times last night after plays, you could see him with his arms up in the air. He thought there was a penalty drawn on him. He didn't like the face-off drop on one of the goals. I forget which one that was.
Kucherov. Yeah, Kucherov.
That's Kucherov one? Yeah, he didn't like that drop. And so, like, it's funny how it just, when you don't do what you think you should be doing, how the frustration takes you away from just playing. Like, you become bothered by everything else except what you really should be bothered by.
Well, where does Babcock come into play on all this for you?
Well, maybe don't comment on the other team anymore. That would be a start.
Yeah.
I guess there was enough pucks for Point and Kucherov and Stamkos yesterday. They were all in his net.
Well, did you hear Cooper postgame? Do we have the John Cooper? Because that was, you know, Babcock was obviously,
yeah, not enough puck for those talented guys.
Yeah, talking about how great the opposition is, that line in particular. Then we saw how it played out. And here's what John Cooper, the head coach of Tampa, had to say postgame.
All three of them were outstanding, but they were on the puck all night. And, you know, I guess they could play with one puck. And it was a lot of fun to watch.
Kind of like him saying, oh, McDavid, oh, yeah, you want to play a guy 23 minutes a night? That's crazy.
Yeah.
Like there's nothing to be gained by making, like, what was he trying to do?
He's trying to make himself sound smarter than everyone else, as per usual.
Well, it didn't work. It didn't work last night. And so now I guess the question is, and the question becomes, so what, as a coaching staff, what, you know, when you're the head of it, what can you do to help the players that you have be better? Because you can only yell at the guys so much or demand more. And, well, if things aren't working, you can't try to drive a square peg in a round hole. Maybe you're going to have to make some changes to the way that you align your team or the way that you've got your defensemen paired. Like, maybe you're going to have to do that. He's never really, it appears, certainly in Toronto, he's never really moved guys around in the lineup very much. And so you could hide it the first couple games and say, ah, it's been early. But pretty clearly Kapanen hasn't worked on that line. I'll start there. So, you know, because Marner's not going so well now either. Maybe they got to put somebody else there. Maybe it's Trevor Moore. Because you're trying to tread water till Hyman gets back. But maybe that's where you go with that. Like, you change that line. Third line, as you mentioned, has been fine, but if you drop Kapanen down there, maybe that frees him up a little bit and you get a little more balance. Your defense has been a train wreck for many parts of the games. You know, they give up 6 to Montreal, they give up 7 to Tampa, and so all of a sudden you're like, oh, okay, we've sprung a leak here. Maybe you got to move your defense pairs around, even if it's just to give them a little different look till Dermott gets back, because you're going to change things around when he shows up. But yeah. But I don't think that you just keep rolling out the same guys, can they?
Ray, when's the last time you're between the benches you've said, this defense corps, they're like locked down. They're dialed in. Because I was saying to these guys earlier, I started working here and it was Phaneuf back there, and they were awful in their own zone back. I can't remember them ever being like real solid in their own zone.
No, I mean, there'd be guys, right? You'd go, oh, that guy's really good, and these two guys are really good, and that pair is good, but not as a defense group. And so the problem becomes, and I said this earlier, and I'm a big Tyson Barrie fan, but there are nights that Tyson Barrie forgets how to defend. And in Colorado, he never played against the other team's top lines. That didn't happen. That was Eric Johnson. And so now in Toronto, the goal, of course, was to get Barrie and Muzzin against the top groups. Well, maybe that's something they got to take a break from. I know it's only one game, but that's the MO of Tyson Barrie, is that he will get you points. He will score goals. The all-time leader in goals, assists, and points for an Avalanche defenseman. But as a defender, that is that there are times when that goes a little bit vacant from his game. Right, and then you couple it with Riley, and man, those are two guys that can't be iffy for you, and that's been iffy.
Yeah, that's where I was going to go. We were talking about Morgan Riley's game, and a lot of times, you know, he's a number one defenseman, and I think a lot of times you need to drag your partner up. But, you know, Brian asked me, because I do a lot of Ottawa games, ask you as well, like, what is Cody Ceci? Like, to me, I think Cody Ceci and Riley aren't mixing. Like, there's tandems that look really good and really solid and play well together, but there's times where I'm watching Morgan jump up in the play and Cody's unsure of what's going on, where, for example, last night I watched Parayko jump up in the play and Bouwmeester knew exactly how he was going to play it. And to me, if you're going to start mixing things around, I mean, what is Cody Ceci's game to you, Ray?
I don't think he's a top pair guy. And if Riley's a top pair guy, but they're playing against the second group because they want Barry and Muzzin to play the top guys, that's probably the most that you're going to get from Ceci. He's a number four at best. In Ottawa, he got steamrolled because, as we know, they needed him to play against all the other team's best players. And sometimes when you're the best of a bad lot, then, you know, things don't go very well for you. Like, you know, I had that in Atlanta. I was one of our best players, and I was minus 38 or whatever the hell I was. I mean, that's unfortunately what happened. Well, in Toronto, they don't, you know, the thought was that they didn't need, you know, they're not going to need him to play against the other team's top line. They caught him in the deal because they wanted to move Zaitsev, right? And they wanted to move that, you know, however many years, 5 years Zaitsev had left on his contract and he wanted to go. Well, they had to take Ceci back. Doesn't mean that this is the best spot in the lineup for him. But if you look at it, their only other option would be to A, move Barry and Riley together. Well, I don't know about that. Or to move Sandin there. Because it didn't seem like Muzzin was going to be an option after the early stages of last year when he came. And, man, you can't ask Sandin to do that already, can you?
No, he can't play those kind of minutes. No way.
Oh, I don't think it's even possible.
No, so this is what they have.
The answer is they don't really have an answer. Not now.
No. And that's going to place a spotlight on the GM if this keeps up, right? Like, I think Babcock is the guy who takes the majority of the heat. The players should be taking a lot of the heat. They're the ones on the ice. But there's going to be people at some point, if it continues to be kind of a scattered mess, like, wait a minute, what were we thinking here?
Right.
Like, who put this together? And it was Dubas that put it together. It's five games. You still got to wait a long time till you know exactly where it's going. And they still have 5 points in five games. It's not like they're 0-5. It's not, you know, at this point, Buffalo and Detroit are leading the division. That's not going to happen by the end of the year.
You'd be okay. If they're the leaders of the division, that's fine because there'll be a time when they back up.
Exactly.
But, like, when they signed, you know, they got Harper, but they signed Jordan Smoltz. Like, are those guys even in the picture for them somewhere? They've said that they're not done calling guys up from the Marlies. And I don't think that meant just in that fourth line group. But they're not difference makers either. They're depth guys.
Yeah,
right.
And you can't just go and get another defenseman. Somebody can say, oh, make a trade and all that. But who, where, how? Can't do that.
I agree.
No, it's not going to happen. Your team is what it is until you get to the trade deadline. And in reality, the Leafs, I don't think they can make trades at the deadline. They've given up first-round picks 2 years in a row. They're going to need cheap talent because their big boys up front are getting paid a lot of money.
Yeah, the cap is going to be a big problem, technically.
Yeah, this is the team. This was the team in the summer, and this is the team now, and I believe this will be the team for the most part. You know, Dermott's coming back, Hyman's coming back. But
and those are important pieces,
yeah,
right?
They are.
Like, those are important pieces.
Yep.
They are. But this, again, I think you look at the internal struggles of certain players. Morgan Riley's got to be better, and he will be better. The Tavares line has got to be better, and it will be better. If those two in particular, those are, you know, those are four of your most important players on the team that have just not really been good enough. And if they had been, I'll bet you they've got 7 points in the bank as opposed to five or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
Edmonton winning again last night. Have you changed your mind at all? I don't know what your mind was before the season began. I'm assuming you didn't have them as a playoff team, but any difference in mentality when it comes to Edmonton?
No, not really. I mean, I certainly didn't see them coming out of the gate like this. And, you know, they got a good game and goal from Koskinen, which is a crapshoot, right? If he can play for them, that would change their outlook quite a bit. You know, it would give them a couple options in goal for sure. I mean, certainly nobody had James Neal at 7 goals so far on the season. And if they have wingers that can score, then that allows them to keep, you know, Draisaitl apart from McDavid, except when only, you know, when they want to, or put a push together or after a penalty kill. And it gives them more options. But it's too early for me to really change the way I feel about it, you know, like to say, like, you know, oh, this is going to be a completely different team.
Yep, I think I'm with you on that. But 4-0 is 4-0.
Yeah,
I mean, you'll take it. Yeah, it's a great start.
I just liked what Kenny did there, like created some internal competition, bringing in, like, you know, Yurko and Gatenhaus and Nygaard. Like, all they're fast. They're fast 26-year-old players. Can they play and get you 10 goals? I think that's what he's trying to see what he can.
100% Noodles. It's to put as many options in that bottom six. And
yeah,
they needed more offense than they had last year from the bottom, and they needed to be faster. And that's where those guys really got their opportunities.
And that allows the young kids to play in the minors. And if they're ready, they push one of those guys out. And if those guys don't get pushed out, it means they're producing. You know, that means you're, and you kind of got that Maple Leaf model from a couple years ago where you had guys on 1 year contracts, the PA Parento, guys like that, and you either roll them over or they earn another contract. And I thought that was kind of under the radar, very smart by Hollander. You know, the stars have to align for them to make the playoffs, but I at least thought he did a really good job of managing, and they're all on the cheap, too.
All right, buddy. Well, happy Thanksgiving. We're on Monday. I don't know if we're calling you or not, but
you can try.
Yeah, we figured you wouldn't answer.
Why would he be on? It's a holiday.
Because we're on. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
No one's on except us.
I'm actually flying. I'm flying to Toronto. I don't know. You can try. I think I'll be on the ground by the time the show's on, and I got Minnesota the next night. So
okay, there you go.
We'll give it a go.
Yeah, the grappler will. He'll call you.
It's in
okay,
the works.
So here's the deal. So what's the target,
buddy? I can't talk about it because the trainer. The look on his face was like his dog died when I closed my eyes and he. And then he asked me what I was eating.
Oh no! You remember John Anderson, the former Leaf? He was in Hartford. And Larry Pleau took over as the coach and told him he wasn't going to play. Andy was a bit of a thick-bodied guy.
Yeah.
And he said, you're not going to play till you get to 180. So Andy was riding the bike and in the sauna and doing extra skating and all this. And after 2 weeks, he lost like a pound. And they asked him, when was the last time he weighed 180? And he said, birth.
That's where I'm at.
Yeah. Well, he had a great burger joint up here in Toronto, John Anderson's Hamburgers.
That's what I understand. And just keep grinding, Owen. I think you should use Thanksgiving as a cheat weekend anyway.
I agree.
It's probably going to be that, and then back to the grind.
Back in the grind on Monday. All right, buddy. Well, we'll let you know. We're going to do the reveal in about 5 minutes, so you'll
perfect.
Find out.
Good luck, Owen. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Enjoy your families, and we'll talk to you Monday.
You got it. Ray Ferraro joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. They take away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lien history, and accident history. Find out more at MapleToyota.com.